You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use us, use our broadcast, to be a blessing to you today. We're opening the musical part of our broadcast with the choir singing for us, Touched by the Master's Hand.
Let me stand on the hills and the mountains that were built by the hand of the Lord. Let the winds that He prepared take my voice everywhere.
If you've been touched by the hand of the Lord, as this song says, you have been set free from the sinful, ungodly life. For Jesus Christ came to set the captives free, and He did not come in vain. Our Father, we thank You for the gospel, for the power of the gospel, and we're thankful for the privilege I'll present it on this broadcast to this precious people. And we're trusting that wherever this service is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it, deal with hearts, and help souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue the musical part of our service now with the male quartet singing about our knowledge that we have been saved from sin. I was there when it happened.
There are some people who say we cannot tell whether we are saved, whether all is well. They say we only can hope and trust that it is so, but
I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know.
Yes, I know when Jesus
saved my soul.
The very moment he forgave me,
made me whole.
When he took away my burden,
gave me peace within.
Satan cannot make me doubt
it.
It's real, I'm going to shout it.
I
was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. I don't care who tells me salvation is not real, though the world may argue that we cannot feel the heavy burden lifted and the vile sin go. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus
saved my soul.
The very moment he forgave me, when he took away my burden,
gave me peace within.
Satan cannot make me doubt it. It's real, I'm going to
shout it.
I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Now I've started for heaven and left the world behind. There's not a better life you could ever find. The precious Holy Spirit set my heart aglow. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Yes, I know when Jesus saved me,
the
very moment he forgave me, when he took away my burden,
and
gave me
peace
within. Satan cannot make me doubt it. It's real, I'm going to
shout it.
For I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. When Jesus
saved me,
the very moment he forgave me,
when
he took away my
burden,
gave me peace
within.
Satan cannot make me doubt
it.
It's real, I'm going to
shout it.
I was there when it happened, and I guess I
ought
to.
Our subject for today's broadcast, How Salvation is Obtained. And our text of Scripture is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel's message to Joseph in regard to Mary. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In the atonement of Christ, provision was made for the salvation of all men. We wish to consider what conditions must be met that salvation may become actual in the life of a Christian. Faith is a conditional for salvation. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So we read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Faith is held out as one of the primary conditions for salvation. Faith may be thought of in different aspects. Intellectual faith is necessary. And what do we mean by intellectual faith? That Jesus is the Savior and will save, which is necessary before one will ever seek Him. He who rejects God's word and does not believe in Christ is in no position to be saved. One must be convinced of the truthfulness of the Christian claim. Such conviction is intellectual faith. Such itself cannot save. No, intellectual faith cannot save. The devils believe and tremble. Faith is emotional. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And the heart, faith, is a belief springing from love and trust. Faith in Christ includes a passionate love for Him springing from the heart, I say. Now, saving faith is a passionate love for Him springing from the heart. Saving faith is volitional. We are held responsible to believe on Christ. If we believe, we shall be saved. If we believe not, we shall be condemned. This fact shows that saving faith is exercised voluntarily. It is a voluntary acceptance of Christ with all that is involved therein. It is a fulfilling of oneself in humble trust and obedience to Christ. Yes, it is a commitment on one's part to trust and obey Christ. Saving faith is at once intellectual, emotional, and volitional. Now, repentance as a requirement, repentance is associated with faith. We are called on to repent as well as to believe. Jesus came into the coast of Galilee after John the Baptizer had been put in prison, and the Bible says he came preaching the gospel, and what he preached was, repent ye and believe the gospel. And repentance is turning from sin. Repentance comes from a term which means a change of mind. In the Bible sense, repentance includes a complete change of desire and attitude. It is a turning from sin. Convert means to turn from sin and turn to God. So repentance is turning from sin and turning to God, and in sincerity doing so. Repentance is brought about by godly sorrow. This is not just sorrow, not the sorrow of the world, but a sincere sorrow for sin and a hatred of sin, because it is an offense to God and against God. True repentance causes one to make such confession and reparation as are necessary to clear oneself. The wicked are to forsake their way, and they are to restore the pledge and give again that which they have robbed, and walk in the statutes of righteousness, and the statutes of righteousness, and not sin. So godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. Now the assurance of salvation. May we know that we are saved? Some religious people believe we cannot know until death. But John the Apostle is very positive in his assurance. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. So we read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible assures us of our salvation. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Now the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we read in Romans 8 and 16. We will recognize the change that has taken place within us. Desires and attitudes have been changed. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You cannot experience what the Apostle Paul is talking about without knowing it. Yes, we have become new creatures. Old things, that is, the old sinful life, has passed away, and we have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Permanent results come as a result of our salvation. Salvation brings freedom from sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8 and 36. Jesus Christ said, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. And again, you cannot be made free from sin and live righteous without knowing what has happened in your heart and in your life. Sin is no longer imputed. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So we read in Psalm 32 and 2. Sin is no longer committed. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. 1 John 3, 9. And we're told again in Romans 6 and 16, know ye not to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So if you have departed a life of sin and you have started living a righteous life, you're surely going to know about it. Now let us think for a moment about the benefits of sonship. As sons of God and full salvation, we are partakers of the Father's divine nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we read in 2 Peter 1 and 4. While living in sin, we have a sinful nature, a depraved nature. But whenever we are truly saved and sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, we have God's divine nature. We are also made members of the family of God, the Church of God, because we have been born of the Spirit. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, otherwise you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And whenever you are born again, you are born not only into the kingdom of God, but into the Church of the living God. Jerusalem, which is from above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And when we think about the benefits of sonship, we have fellowship with other saints of God, as well as the Father and His Son. So we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. As sons of God, we are heirs of salvation. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we have access to all spiritual blessings and heaven with all its glories is ours. Through the supreme sacrifice of the Son of God, salvation, eternal life, is offered to one and all. And you were included in God's salvation plan. For Jesus Christ tasted death for every man, and whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So as our text says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of presenting this gospel to this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit has made it a blessing to each and to every one, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once like a bird in prison,
that our broadcast service has been a blessing to you today. If so, why not let us know? Our postal address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number, 301-739-7173. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. I would remind you that on our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. We have a number of them there on our webpage. And you can also listen to previous broadcasts if you've missed any or would like to hear one over again. And also, we invite you to be with us, if at all possible, in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service begins at 6. And then our midweek service, Wednesday evening at 7. Webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. I thank you for being with us in our service today, and I invite you to be with us next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.